The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The Big Dog is gonna hunt!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Saturday, October 13th, 2018, and we're going to talk Monday Night Raw because that is the show that stood out to me this week. Lots going on. I mean, this was one of the more noteworthy Monday Night Raws that we've had, dare I say, in a couple of months, namely the turns and a double turn that happened on Monday Night Raw, the return of Kurt Angle, and a few other things as well. So we're going to get into all of that. And if you've joined me before, you know you can follow me on Twitter, and it's at the WWE Podcast. You can follow me there, and that is the best way to do so. I try to tweet out, even though I watch Raw on delay, so I don't tweet out live as it's happening. I watch it on delay, the 90-minute version, so I do tweet out through the week as I start to watch WWE programming. I'm also, just a heads up, probably going to be refreshing maybe the logo, maybe the intro. It does need some updating. It's been the same for a couple of years now, and I've actually shortened it. My intro used to be over 2 minutes long. I mean, that's just too much. I don't know what I was thinking. So there's going to be some refreshes, new coats of paint being put on this show, and I think it's time to do so. I've thought about doing the live format of the show, returning to that at some point as well. I used to have a show on Blog Talk Radio where I would be doing a pre and post pay-per-view show as WWE did them on a monthly basis, which now is a three times a month basis, but we'll see. It's something that I've considered, and obviously, there's an expense that goes with that, so that's something I also need to consider. But I'm thinking out loud, and none of you care, right? None of you care unless you're just like, hey, are you doing it or are you not? I don't want to hear all of your personal issues. So let's get into Monday Night Raw, because this was, and I don't want to say it was blow away, but it was one of the most noteworthy Raws, dare I say, since WrestleMania. It felt like 1998. At times, I mean, and by the way, as I'm saying 1998, I'm thinking of Raw or SmackDown 1000, which emanates next week. And I know the return of Evolution, which means the return of Dave Bautista. Does The Rock make a surprise appearance? I would hope so. I mean, this is the show that was really built on the back of The Rock, and I really hope he does make an appearance. It's going to be a special show, and I'm really looking forward to it. I really think that it's going to be noteworthy. It may not really push too many storylines along. It's maybe one of those one-off cameo appearances by stars of the past. And it doesn't really forward current storylines as much as it is just kind of a celebration of SmackDown reaching 1,000 episodes. And I'm fine with that. I don't think it needs to be a blockbuster in terms of advancing all current storylines. It's, as I said, more of a memorabilia cameo appearance show that I think that WWE is going to be putting on. And I'm fine with that. And so, you know, does Vicky Guerrero return? She was a staple of SmackDown Live. So was Teddy Long. I could see a lot of different individuals making appearances on this show. And so I'm really looking forward to it, especially from a nostalgia standpoint. But let's get to Monday Night Raw, because this was one of the most noteworthy shows, as I've said three or four times now. And I think the first thing that comes to mind, well, I guess depending on your preferences, and what your brain remembers, is the turn of Bobby Lashley and Kevin Owens. Double turn. And this, to me, is the right move. Some people are arguing it's not a double turn, it's just a turn by Bobby. But in all reality, Kevin Owens is the one here who has needed a change for such a long time. He's one of those guys that has just been floating along for, it feels like, months and months and months, just getting bullied by Braun Strowman, in and out of programs. He quits, but then when he returns the next week and is on Braun's side, it makes absolutely no sense. Kevin Owens has needed this. He needed a change of character, and I think this was executed very well. You have Leo Rush, who is tailor-made to be a heel manager. And somebody on Twitter had said to me, he's not Paul Heyman. Well, who is Paul Heyman? That's like saying, who's Bobby Heenan? You can't use that measuring stick against a guy that really just made it to the main roster. I mean, those are some really big shoes to fill. Let's give Leo time to really find his footing here. You can't just immediately expect him to be Paul Heyman. Of course he's not Paul Heyman. But I do see a lot of potential. I think he adds to Bobby's extremely bland character and personality that is coming through on TV. And he is Vince McMahon's perfectly sculpted, stereotypical guy that he would love to get behind if the crowd would. But Bobby has not given us anything other than, okay, he looks like $3 million, but he gives us nothing in terms of personality. When he does, it comes off extremely awkward. And I'll give you two words that will sum that all up if you don't believe me. Three sisters. Yeah. Or should I say three words? Bobby's three sisters. Just YouTube that if you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you're listening to this, you probably do. So Leo Rush adds that piece of the puzzle that Bobby Lashley has been missing. And I'm really thinking that these two could be a hell of a duo. Bobby showed a mean streak, attacking the legs of Kevin Owens on Raw. Leo just being obnoxious throughout the match. And Kevin Owens, who's really, I think, his heel run is, I think, over. I think it's run its course for now. He's been a heel ever since he debuted on Monday Night Raw and beat John Cena at the Elimination Chamber a number of years ago. So it's time. It's time for us to cheer Kevin Owens. It's time for us to make that change, and I'm for it. I thought him and Elias were going to be more of a impact team moving forward, but clearly they're going their own way, and that's fine. If Kevin Owens here is going to be elevated, and I think he will, then the crowd's eager to cheer him. I think the crowd is tired of booing Kevin Owens when they see so much potential. And he's a funny guy. Even when he's a heel and he played a really good heel for a while, he still made you laugh at times. I mean, it's just his natural personality. He doesn't feel scripted. He just kind of flies by the seat of his pants. At least that's how it appears on TV. So that is all. You wrap all of that together, and this, I think, was executed not to perfection, but I'd give that if the double turn was indeed the intent, and I believe it was, I'd give that a B+ in terms of that happening, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it, and I really am looking forward to what Bobby does in terms of Leo Rush and him adding that element that Bobby was so sorely missing. And you have Kevin Owens, who has been booed for way too long, at least in WWE's storytelling narrative has played that bad guy far too long. It's time to turn him, and I think that they did. And I think that they will continue to do so, and at least I hope they continue to push Kevin as a face. It's time. So the next thing that comes to mind is the Shawn Michaels Triple H DX reunion. And did they really ever split up? I guess they just were together but never called themselves DX, so I guess DX is back. I never thought I'd say that in 2018, but DX is back. And I think, hey, you know, Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement is a big deal. I don't think, at least right now, it doesn't feel like it's as big of a deal as it should feel like to me. I'm trying to make my own, I'm trying to build it more in my mind of how big of a deal this is, more than WWE has given me. Maybe they're going to continue to just harp on it and throw video packages at us, how big of a deal this is. I understand that this tag match between Shawn and Triple H, or DX, versus the Brothers of Destruction is not a singles match, obviously, for Shawn, but he's still coming out of retirement. That's massive. Massive when you think about it, and I don't think they haven't yet. I'm not going to say they haven't. At all, but yet really given us that feeling like this is a big deal. Shawn Michaels, in the eyes of legends, Hall of Famers, is the best ever. So he's not only the best ever to some fans, but to those who are already in the Hall of Fame, like Stone Cold has mentioned that Shawn Michaels, in his mind, is in his top three of all time. I think Stone Cold believes that Ric Flair is the best of all time. You know, Jim Ross, Undertaker has said on numerous occasions that Shawn Michaels is one of the best in-ring performers of all time. So we need to feel like this is a big deal, and I'm not feeling that yet from WWE. I'm kind of self-motivating myself to really realize how awesome this is that Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement. If we can all get past the bald head, and I've got a bald head, so no offense to Shawn, but you know, it is a bit distracting. It's a bit jarring to see Shawn without hair. I know he's got that kind of weird bandana on his head, but it just doesn't feel like Shawn without the hair yet, and maybe we'll all get used to it as once Triple H cut his hair, we all got used to it. So, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just jarring to see him like that after 20 years with that long hair that suited him so well. So I'm looking forward to the match. I think it's a good way to get Shawn reintroduced into the ring, because I do not believe that this is his only match out of retirement. This is clearly building towards something at WrestleMania, and I do not believe it's going to be Kane. I mean, you got to be crazy to think it's going to be Kane. I do believe it's one of two people, Undertaker or Triple H. And I know that hasn't really been brought to the table yet. Yes, most people probably believe, and it most likely will be the Undertaker who comes out on top as far as the match for Shawn Michaels one-on-one at WrestleMania. I think that, I mean, the problem is to live up to their WrestleMania 25 and 26 matches, it's going to be very difficult to do. And Shawn not wrestling in 8 years, 8.5 years, almost nine by the time he steps in the ring with the Undertaker, is going to be difficult to not use that standard as the type of match that we're going to see. But it very well, it most likely will be the Undertaker in a double retirement match. And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I just don't expect a barn burner. I just expect a nostalgic two pros in the ring giving it their all one last time at WrestleMania in New York. And so that's what I'm thinking. But the other option that I'm thinking that no one really has talked about, I've listened to podcasts, I've read blogs, is the fact that what if Triple H turns on Shawn and you have a Triple H versus Shawn Michaels match at WrestleMania? That's a possibility for a couple of reasons. One, Triple H could carry that match. Triple H in the shape, I think he's in better shape than Shawn is, so he, being the person in better ring shape at the time, could carry that match. He's a very safe worker. He's beyond a ring general. I mean, he is just the guy that you could, he could have a match with anybody, I believe, and still make them look like $1 million while being ultra safe. And I think that's what Shawn needs right now. So that could happen too. You know, the other reason is, hey, they have a storied rivalry too. It's Shawn versus Triple H. They have a hell of a rivalry that at times WWE forgets to really bring to the forefront. I mean, yeah, they're always doing DEX reunions at Raw 25s and Raw 20s and Raw 1000s and Raw whatever, but their rivalry was one of the best that I've ever seen from 2002 to 2004. Culminating, I believe it was in a Hell in a Cell match with those two at Bad Blood in 2004 or 2003. Forgive me, my memory is leaving me as far as specific years after, 14, 15 years ago. But that was, to me, the ultimate, the ending of the feud that they had, and Triple H ended up coming out on top. So this is something they could relive. I don't think they will, but I don't think it's off the table. I really don't think it's off the table as far as Triple H versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. And I, you know, that one I'd be looking forward to as well. I think that Triple H plays off Shawn very, very well. I think he would, as far as quality of a match, would be better than Triple H, or better than Undertaker and Shawn, because I think Triple H is in much better shape than Undertaker is. So those are just some of my thoughts, but I'm looking forward to the tag match at Crown Jewel, you know, the 40th pay-per-view of the year so far. I'm looking forward to it. So, and one other thing while I'm talking about Crown Jewel, before I talk about the third turn or the third item of the of Running at Raw that I want to get to, is this fact that the WWE is competing in Saudi Arabia that doesn't allow women to compete on the show. And I tweeted this out and I said that, yeah, okay, this is, first of all, this is their second show in Saudi Arabia in a year, right? And they do not allow women on the show. That is not up to WWE to not include women on the show. And the argument is, and I understand that, well, WWE is choosing to be in Saudi Arabia knowing that they don't allow women to compete on the show. But if you're a business, and WWE is a business, I can't believe I'm defending corporate WWE right now, but I am in this case because I understand the business aspect of this. And they are trying to make good by creating an all-women's pay-per-view. I think that that is what they're trying to do, is make everybody – it's like the feel-good moment of here's the reconciliation. Here's the bone that we're throwing you, an all-women's pay-per-view. And so I think that's their makeup for having two shows in Saudi Arabia. But I understand why they're doing it. It's not up to WWE to not include the women. It's a business decision. They're a global entity trying to build their brand in you know, globally, as I just said. That's what they're trying to do, and competing in these areas of the world to build that brand globally is a smart move, and clearly Saudi Arabia has a massive market for WWE. And there will come a time where Saudi Arabia finally does allow women to compete in the ring. And when that happens, WWE is going to make a massive deal out of it. And they, and you know, as they should, okay? But WWE is not the government, okay? WWE is not the government of Saudi Arabia. Okay, they are just choosing to compete in a place that they are just abiding by the rules of that country. So I understand from a business perspective that they need to do this, or they are choosing to do this. Now, do I agree with Saudi Arabia's laws and extremely archaic caveman rules? No, I don't. But I understand from a business guy's business perspective, money, they're a for-profit organization, okay? For profit. Everybody's going to get over this. I'm fine. You know what? I'm fine not seeing the women on the pay-per-view, because we see them multiple segments in every single show. I'm not offended by it, because I respect the laws of the government that I'm of the area and territory that I'm competing in. And we're creating an all-women's pay-per-view to really make good on the fact that the women weren't represented on the two Saudi Arabia shows. So that may be the first and only time I support and back corporate WWE, but people need to realize that this is a business decision. Money, folks, money. And if you want to frown down at the fact that they are doing this for money, why don't you look at any business that has ever existed in the existence of humanity and realize why they exist? To make money. So there you go. All right. All right. So let me get to the third item of Monday Night Raw that really stuck out to me. And obviously, this may have been the headline for many people. The Bellas making their heel turn, their long-awaited heel turn. and I was all for this from the beginning. I think WWE really puts too much stock in building the building up Brie and Nikki. I don't think they're as big of a deal as WWE tries to make them out to be. I really don't. Oh, and I don't know. I'm sorry, guys, to jump around. But when Michael Cole calls John Cena, all of a sudden he's not one of the greatest. He's the greatest of all time. I'll get to that in a minute. But with Brie and Nikki, they, to me, are not that big of a deal. And I've said this in my tweets. I do not apologize for it. It's what it is. They are, the Bella Twins, are nothing more than a left. They are leftovers from the Divas era of WWE, the long-forgotten Divas era of WWE. They are nothing more than leftovers from that era. And you know what? They may sound a little bit disrespectful, but that era was not an era that really respected women or brought them to the forefront or made them a big deal in pay-per-views. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm not sorry. What the hell am I saying? They are just leftovers from that era, and it's clear to me that that's what they are. I mean, we can all jump on Brie for knocking out Liv Morgan. Okay, mistakes happen. I get it. Okay, I'm not jumping on that. I'm jumping on the fact that just bell to bell, take the mistakes out. They are not as good as the women that are in WWE right now, and their personas are just bland. What the hell is Brie mode anyway? What is Brie mode? I have never supported the Bellas in terms of like thinking they are at the top of the division, and I think that at times they are there simply because of who they're married to. That's just a fact. Nikki, I think, is the better of the two in the ring. I don't believe anybody would really dispute that. But they just feel just more of eye candy than substance. It's more sizzle than steak, to quote JR. So I don't think that they really bring much to the table. They just feel like, why are they here? What do they do? So the heel turn is good because they are not viewed as part of the women's evolution. They feel like they have been left behind in the dust. They feel like a throwback to an era that most people don't want to remember in WWE. And so turning them heel against Rousey, awesome move. Right move. Having Ronda get beat down, good move. I think that these two could be very good heels because I think people genuinely don't like them. Ronda right now, and WWE has done a great job with Ronda Rousey. I really have to give them credit since her debut. It hasn't been all rainbows and butterflies, but overall the report card I think is pretty good with Ronda Rousey, and I think that having her outnumbered 2-1 on a consistent basis with the Bellas is going to be a good story to tell, and you want to see both of them get their ass whipped. And it's going to happen eventually, but I think that this is the right move, and I'm all for it. And I think we were all expecting Natalya to turn. I still expect that at some point. But for now, Ronda has new opponents, and she needed them, right? Because Crown Jewel's coming up in just a few short weeks. And so that is, I think, a good move by WWE. So let me just change gears a quick bit, and I didn't mention this, about John Cena. Clearly, John Cena has other projects going on. He's doing movies and interviews and whatever else he's doing, growing his hair. I don't know. But he is making WWE more of a kind of a rock schedule. And what I mean by that is he's, I think, trying to extend his career in longevity by doing other projects outside of the ring, because there's no question that he is got a lot more days behind him than in front of him inside the ring. I mean, it's just wear and tear and mileage on his body. So smart move by John. I mean, I'm fine with him, stepping aside and letting other individuals grab the spotlight. And I think it's very telling, though, that number one, WWE life will exist without John Cena. And number two, that he can come back, still look like $1 million and do his thing. And the crowd still loves it. For the most part. I mean, you get your booze, right? But his haircut, okay? His haircut is so distracting. I don't know what he looks either like he's trying to run for president or he is doing a Mr. Rogers reboot. I don't know which one. It's very weird, right? It feels like he's kind of an old guy growing his hair out or getting a toupee put on his head to make himself look younger. I think that haircut would have worked better if he was 10 years younger. It just, his hair is more youthful than his face is looking. So if that makes sense, it's just weird. So I don't know if he's doing that for a movie or if he just wanted to change up his look to keep things fresh. I don't know. It's distracting. Almost as distracting as Shawn Michaels doing the opposite of shaving his head. And he had a receding hairline, so I understand why he did it too, but I don't know. I have more talking about haircuts than I thought I would on this show today. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's fine. But it's just weird seeing John Cena do that. And furthermore, John Cena did, you know, five moves, right? And Cole kind of played on the WWE Universe banter and criticism of the five moves of Doom by saying there's a sixth move of Doom, which is kind of like some jiu-jitsu punch or some kind of martial arts punch. I can't remember the name. But that's the sixth move of Doom, and Cole kind of was as a wink nod to the audience who criticizes the five moves of Doom. John Cena really just didn't do much in this match other than bury Elias, and that what it is what it is. I don't even know what John Cena is doing in WWE down the line, but life does go on in WWE without John Cena. So speaking of Elias, though, you know, the whole Seattle heat that he got a couple of weeks ago on Monday Night Raw was awesome. Unfortunately, it's just specific to that city. I've never seen in my 20 plus years of watching wrestling somebody get over by so much without even really doing anything inside the ring. Anything. I mean, name a memorable Elias match. Just name one. Nobody can. And it's, he just, you know, Elias hasn't even had a notable win. John Cena beat him multiple times, and he just continues to just stay over. It's almost as if his in-ring bell-to-bell skills, action, and matches are a kind of an afterthought to his weekly sit-down guitar segments in which the crowd cheers him, then he'll rat on the local sports team, they'll boo him, and it's just a constant cycle. But eventually, WWE is going to have to elevate this guy through matches, through winning. I believe Elias has a solid fundamental skill set inside the bell, inside the ring, bell to bell, I meant to say. But I've never seen a guy be able to get himself over without even really doing anything inside the ring. Does anybody even know what he's doing bell to bell? No, I mean, it's just amazing. So my point is that it's really credit to not just WWE, but to Elias to be able himself to be able to do this without even doing anything inside the ring. It's almost as if he doesn't even need to wrestle. Just come out and do your stick and rat on the sports team. I think what really is contributing to his success is, number one, he's extremely comfortable in his skin. There's no question about that. He is very comfortable in his skin. He does not feel like he's memorizing lines. He takes pauses. He doesn't try to rush through things. Everything just feels natural, organic, and that it's just coming from him as a person. And everybody enjoys the rat on there. I think everybody deep down enjoys the banter and the insults to their local sports team because it's personalized. Everybody knows that they're going to get a personal insult from Elias, which is kind of a backhanded compliment, but it's personalized, right? So I think that is going to continue to work for Elias, but for how long? I mean, eventually they're going to need to add a little dimension to his character by, you know, wrestling in matches that are meaningful instead of just getting buried and interrupted every week by the you know, baby face of the week. So I just wanted to point that out with Elias. And, of course, the return of Kurt Angle, who, I'm sorry, that skin bodysuit of the whatever wrestler he was trying to imitate was not flattering to his kind of dad bod that he has now. He was, I think, relatively smooth in the ring and comical. And I think that, I don't know, he was on a luchador. I can't remember exactly why it's slipping my mind what he was trying to imitate. But he did a good job. I mean, he hit the Angle Slam and the announcers played coy and, you know, tried to act like they didn't know it was Kurt Angle, even though, you know, 15,000 people in the building knew who it was. And we have a Corbin versus Angle coming up, I think, shortly. And I'm fine for that. I mean, I think that they are going to fight for sole control of Monday Night Raw. And you have Stephanie kind of playing the puppet master that nobody can touch, moving into view, I think, coming up maybe at the next pay-per-view. And so I think that's where that's going. And one last thing, too, with Lita and Trish. Why does Trish feel so uninterested or uninteresting? I know that she's never been a great promo, but it's like she's sleeping through her promos. There's no emotion. There's no feeling. It's just kind of like she's just talking through a line. And, yeah, come on out here, sweetheart. Come on to this ring. I'll show you what, you know, it's just there's no life to her words. I mean, I know that it's never been her style, but she may want to consider adding something to this because she feels so just dead. I don't mean to be a little morbid, but that's how she feels right now, is just kind of lifeless in her words. And, you know, the reaction to her has been kind of flat as well upon a return. Seeing Lita was cool. And so I expect a very nostalgic feel to this match at WWE Evolution coming up in really a couple weeks. We're closing in on WWE Evolution, so we can all stop saying the first women's pay-per-view WWE Evolution. We can all stop saying it in such a corporate manner. I can't wait to get rid of that. That's what I had to say about Lita and Trish, because, hey, I think that it's cool to see them back. I don't really expect them to be in rare form that they were back in, you know, the early 2000s, but it is a very nice nostalgic act. Again, this whole Monday Night Raw felt like 1998 in some respects, and you know what? It's cool. I know that they can't live up to, all really, men and women can't live up to the level inside the ring that they used to. I mean, that's just not fair. That's 20 years ago. But at the same time, I think we need to all take a step back and not hold them to that standard and realize that the days that these individuals have left inside the ring, Triple H, HBK, Kane, Undertaker, Lita, Trish, Kurt Angle, all of these individuals are really, I mean, it is special when we see them, because it's not going to be forever. I mean, there are extremely limited, there is an extremely limited number of days left that these individuals have inside the ring. So anytime we're complaining about how slow they are, it doesn't look the same, well, it's not going to. You add 20 years to your body and you try to do the same thing you did 20 years ago. I mean, so I think we all just need to take a step back and realize that. So guys, I do want to thank you for listening. I tried to add a little bit of length to this podcast. I know typically I go 20, we're a little over 30 minutes. So, you know, bravo, we're heading in the right direction. And I will try to add a show next week and cover a little more on SmackDown Live. I know I didn't really touch on SmackDown Live. You know why? Because I didn't really see all of it yet. That's how limited time I have. So maybe I'll go watch it and maybe I'll comment on it on my Twitter feed, which, by the way, is the WWE Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter. You can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and Spreaker. So those of you who do not have iPhones, those are the places that you can go, and I'd really appreciate it. Follow. And so, all right, guys, I'm heading out of here. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, and thank you for following me. Everybody have a great day. I'll talk to you next time.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.